Hello, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis. This is the Reverend Jerry Endicott, Deacon in the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, serving Church of the Holy Apostles in Collierville. Every Thursday at 8 a.m., this program speaks with interesting people to learn about the role that faith plays in their lives. We are broadcast from WYXR 91.7 FM in Memphis, Tennessee. To start the show each week, we learn about the saint of the day, someone who has made a positive impact, and at least in today's case, someone who is officially recognized by the Church. Yesterday, June 15th, the Church remembered Evelyn Underhill, the British mystic and writer. Underhill was born in Wolverhampton, England, in December of 1875 and died on June 15th of 1941, hence her feast day on that same date each year. An only child, Evelyn was educated at home and at King's College for Women. She experienced mystical leanings, moments of peace and wonder of a reality just outside her reach, even as a child, and spent her life in search of the meanings of these experiences. She was married in 1907 to a man who, like her father, was a barrister, a lawyer to you and me. They had no children, and Evelyn traveled all over Europe pursuing her interests in art and Catholicism. Neither her husband nor her parents had any particular interest in the spirituality that drove her life, yet they remained close throughout. Her husband was not a supporter of her interest in the Catholic Church, and Evelyn eventually became a prominent Anglo-Catholic. She was a prolific author, publishing over 30 books. Her early works were theistic and intellectual, focused on mysticism, unapproachable for most readers in her time. A mentor encouraged her to instead center her theology and writing on Christ. Following that advice led to writings that would appeal to and could be understood and enjoyed by a much larger audience. Following her mentor's death, her works became more focused on the Holy Spirit, and she became known as an Anglican lay leader of spiritual retreats. She was a spiritual director, guest speaker, radio lecturer, and proponent of contemplative prayer. Evelyn was a woman ahead of her time. She was the first woman to lecture to the clergy in the Church of England, as well as the first woman to officially conduct spiritual retreats for the Church. She was also the first woman to establish ecumenical links between churches and one of the first woman theologians to lecture in English colleges and universities. She is buried with her husband in the churchyard extension at St. John at Hampstead in London. As a deacon, for me, Evelyn Underhill's life journey in search of the meanings of her mystical experiences appeal to my work in the Church and in the world. Her premise that life is sacred reminds me to find the sacred in all of life, in the Church and the world, in all those around me, even where and when and in whom it may seem so far away. Sacred is not something up there to be reached for when our time here on earth is done. Sacred is here and now, among and always with us, to be experienced in our time, experienced by everyone, not only those with the luxury of spending a lifetime immersed in its study. Evelyn coined the phrase, among many others, "If God were small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshiped." And doesn't that speak to us today, when so many feel the need to be right, to have all the answers, and to pressure others into believing exactly the way they do? Evelyn's teachings remind me that God cannot be contained in a box, nor can God be understood, figured out, made to make sense to our limited imaginings. They make me realize that there are probably as many ways of experiencing the divine as there are people walking on this earth. Her life is a reminder to me that moments of peace and wonder, of a reality just outside our reach, are waiting right around every corner, defying description, and yet enriching our lives and the lives of others. It's a reminder to never give up in the search for the sacred. Speaking of books and enriching the lives of others, I am so thrilled to be joined today by Jeremy DeMoor. Jeremy and I met a few months ago when, after reading about him in a magazine, I walked into his bookstore, DeMoor Books and Things, located at 739 North White Station Road in the Cloverleaf Shopping Center at Summer and White Station. It's a small, quiet shop, full of an ever-rotating selection of new and used books for all ages and interests. If they don't have it, they'll order it. But I can just about guarantee that there will be something in stock you will find going home with you. Despite decades of difference in our years, he's a millennial. I'm, well, not. And a similar life experience, culture, and upbringing, we discovered in each other kindred spirits. Talking about our various bookcases and stacks of books, read, reading, and to be read. Remembering as children, simply inhaling books, loving the written word, exploring unknown worlds, discovering those threads that bind all of humanity together. One of the first things I noticed about Jeremy is that he always wears a simple wooden cross, and I knew there had to be a faith story there. I couldn't even get the invitation out before he was agreeing to be here with us today. So, Jeremy, tell us a bit about your childhood, your family, and others who have influenced you, your early faith, and your love of reading.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. So for me, my journey is really, really amazing. It actually started in utero. So when my mom discovered she was pregnant with me, she immediately started reading, and it never stopped. My particular wooden cross was given to me when I was about 12 by my grams, and I've worn it ever since. It's a really amazing conversation piece. It starts conversations, and that's just like evangelism, you know, spreading the word of God just by doing that. So it's a really beautiful kingdom piece that I love being able to share with people. My journey with reading is super vast. I absolutely love books and love being able to dive into these different stories. So I come from a really huge family. My grandmother was one of 14 and my mother was one of 7. And so I come from a very vast family, and a lot of us are readers. And I am always giving books for birthdays and holidays. And that's kind of a little bit about my background for that. Yeah.
So tell us some more about your life growing up. You're a native Memphian. Your education, high school, post-high school, and then the career that you had before you took this leap of faith. Yeah. In the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And opened a bookstore.
Yeah. So for me, a little bit more about my background, my faith journey, I actually was baptized at the age of 5 at Golden Leaf Church. And so my family grew up Missionary Baptist. We're now non-denominational, but that particular church is considered my family church. And so that's the predominant church I've been at majority of my life. And now I have the pleasure of being under the leadership of not only my aunt, but also the first female senior pastor in the denomination, which I think is a really, really amazing thing. I love the fact that more women are being allowed in the pulpit and spreading the word of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that has influenced every piece of my career. I am a native Memphian, born and raised. I graduated from Wooddale High School, go Cardinals, in the top 10% of my class. And then I went from that particular institution to starting college, initially at Lambeth University in Jackson, Tennessee. And then they lost accreditation, which was really sad. So I moved back to Memphis and ended up attending University of Memphis for undergrad, and then Relay Graduate School of Education, which is actually in Crosstown. So that ended up influencing a lot of my love of reading, allowing myself to kind of deepen that. And then it ended up inspiring me to become an educator, which is a really interesting thing, because initially I didn't want to go to college. Not that I didn't have the ACT scores or the grades, but I had a different desire for my path. But isn't that just like God? You know, they always say, if you want God to laugh, tell him your plans. And so he had something else in mind for me. I initially wanted to run away to LA and make films and movies. But I had a conversation with my grams probably when I was in eighth or ninth grade, and she was just like, you know, apply to some colleges, have a backup plan. So college became my plan B. And it wasn't until she passed away in 2008 where I was like, you know what, I think I'm just going to go with what she thought I should do. And boy, am I glad that I did. It led me into so many different amazing opportunities, such as like moving to Orlando for an internship with Walt Disney World and becoming a production assistant, then moving back to Memphis and starting my own company, and then moving from that into being in the library system, and then ultimately the classroom, where I spent a lot of my time fostering a love of reading and writing in the next generation. And that ended up leading me into Do More Books and Things, which is my beautiful baby that I'm so grateful that God has allowed us to prosper and thrive during a pandemic. And that was a whole faith walk in itself. So, yeah.
And you just celebrated your first year anniversary.
We did.
Yeah. So tell me, I know that, you know, one of the things that I love about your shop is that I can walk in and I see faces and I hear voices that are outside my experience.
Yeah.
And I love reading about things that I don't know about.
Yeah.
And yet it's also a very welcoming place for people who are not accustomed to seeing mm-hmm. their faces mm-hmm. and their voice and hearing their voices. And so it seems to have become a community, and you offer things other than books.
Yeah.
There are events, you know, movie nights, authors come and sign their books and do readings. So tell me about how this community of welcoming and inclusion and comfort is curated.
Wow. So that is, it's all God, honestly. It really is. I'm fortunate enough to be at a church that believes in the word and teaches how to apply the word, you know, to our life. And so Do More Books and Things was born in the middle of a pandemic. And at the time when I was having these fears in the classroom and all these different emotions, we were studying Psalm 91 at church, and I just started applying that to my life and my faith walk. And it was just really impactful for me. And so it just became my prayer. It's like, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? I was like, so many places are closing down, so many businesses are losing funds, and it's just like, God, I'm a teacher. Like, I wasn't struggling, which is God as well, but I was experiencing a lot of hurt and disappointment. I had children who lost their lives during the pandemic, families, and so it's just like, God, if I'm stepping out on faith, like, what does that look like? And so he was just he reminded me of my wooden cross that I wear. He was like, do you have faith? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, do you love me? I was like, yeah, I do. It's like, so do you believe me? And I was like, yeah, I do. And so I just kind of had to step out on faith and just allow what I've learned in church and what I've learned from my own study in the Bible to be what I stand on. And so when I was praying for a store, praying for a location, I was just like, God, just guide me to what you think, or where you not think, but where you know that I should be. And so forming this community has really been about making sure that everyone not only has a seat at the table, but also feels seen and heard. And isn't that so much just like Christ, you know, to go to these different places and make people feel loved and welcoming while also just being a kind person. And so for me, when it comes to being an all-inclusive bookstore and forming these relationships. It's all fallen into my lap just from prayer and just from being obedient. We've been fortunate to have like partnerships with the city, Choose 901, who's also in the Crosstown complex, and HarperCollins has tapped us for a lot of their book signings. And so it's been God providing opportunities for us just by being obedient. And that's been a huge lesson that I've been learning, just being obedient and just listening to the Holy Spirit, which is the voice that he left us with, you know. And so that's how this community has been shaped and formed. It's not me. A lot of times I'm just amazed where people will come into the store and we'll have conversations about books like I did with you, and it just blossoms into things forming and things being brought together. But that's just so much like God's timing is perfect. And just allowing him to kind of shape what this looks like is a huge part of that community being formed and continued and grown. And yeah.
So tell us, if you think about your store today, when you walk in this morning, when we're done here, and someone walks through your door, walk through his door, by the way, everyone.
Yeah, please.
What will they find?
They will find friendly faces, a welcoming environment, and they will find a diverse collection of literature. I mean, we carry nonfiction, adult fiction, young adult fiction, new releases, comic books, graphic novels, manga, children's books, faith-based books, classics. They will find what they're looking for, and sometimes they find what they didn't even know they were looking for. But that's just the beauty of being an all-inclusive store. We carry everything because everyone... it's different, and now we read different things, we process things differently, but our job is just to provide so many different pieces that are accessible, and if we don't have it in store, we can always find it. That's the beauty of the internet, is that we're able to keep going. And so that's just a really amazing piece that they'll be able to find in the store.
And I did mention, you know, I've been in the store a number of times. I always leave with something that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, and I think initially when you came in the first time, you were looking for, what is it, This Here Flesh?
This Here Flesh.
And I was like, this is great. Well, have you thought about this particular book? And I think, I don't remember if it was The Body Keeps the Score or some other piece, but I was just like, yeah, what about this? What about this? And then I was like, what do you like to read? And you were like, well, I read everything. And then you start talking about your bookcases and the amount of books that you go through. And I was like, yeah, me too. And those kind of conversations end up leading into something bigger. So there's always a little bit of everything for people. But that's pretty much how it starts. You find something that you didn't even know you needed.
Yeah. You know, because it is, it's a small shop.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's cozy.
Yeah.
And but there's room there if you want to have a book club meeting there.
Yeah.
There's table and chairs.
Yeah.
And there's you know, these little areas, you know, there's a religious area, there's young adults, there's and when you first look, if you're accustomed to going to the big bookstores,
boo.
It's like, well, what's, yes, boo. you know, well, there, but you look and you see the depth of what you carry.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And I did mention also, if there's anything you want, you'll order it.
And that's all by design. When I was beginning to receive confirmation about that this was what I needed to do, I was always taught that you write the vision and make it plain, which is also scripture. But I literally drew out what I wanted. I wanted a rectangular piece. I did not want this large, expansive complex. I was like, God, I want it to be between 1,100 to 1,200 square feet. I want it to be close to my home, close to my job, because I was still teaching at the time. And I was very intentional about the things that I wanted. I wanted it to feel intimate. I wanted it to feel like home. I wanted it to feel like the Saturday mornings where I would go to the library and just be in a nook all day. And so when I was writing these things down and praying over my vision, the vision that God had given me, those are the things I found. The store is exactly 1,200 square feet. And I was just like, well, God, hey, this is perfect. And it's comfortable and it's cozy because I want it to feel like a safe place. We have three independent bookstores in the city that I even frequent because I'm a frequent reader. I believe in putting money back into our city, and mom and pop shops are how we keep our economy thriving, even in a pandemic. And I love that they're expansive, but for me, I wanted something that was nice and comfortable where everyone felt safe, and that, not that they don't feel safe in other places, but for me, I wanted them to be able to be in one particular space and just kind of move through that space and then have time to actually sit down. But it's beautiful because we've been able to host book signings for local authors and large authors from huge publishing houses. You know, we have book clubs that come through. We do like our bi-weekly movie nights, and then now people are renting the store for their own movie nights. And even though it's 1200 square feet, it's huge. It still ends up being huge. And so it's just nothing but God that it's able to be transformed, which is also kind of like us. You know, what is that? Romans, correct me, Deke, correct me. Is it Romans 8? Is it Romans 10 and 9? Which one is it? To be renewed by the transformation of your mind? Yes. Romans. It's Romans something. But, you know, I'm going to have to go to a theological seminary like you, so I know it for sure. But it's something like that. It's scripture where it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the store is constantly transformed by the renewing of the format of it, by the collection of books. And so it all ends up going back to spiritual encounters and just having that based in faith. But I can, you know, when you know the word and you're learning the word, you're able to apply it in everything, even in just the way the store is shaped. So,
It's so welcoming. You know, it's a little off the beaten path, but not really. Mm-hmm. Right there, the store faces North White Station.
Yeah.
If anyone knows where the Cloverleaf Pharmacy used to be, is it Mary Carter?
Yeah, Mary Carter's is right next door, and then Poncho's used to be in that same shopping center. And there are other places as well, but the most important place you know should know in that particular center is DeMoor Books and Things.
And we should probably say that DeMoor is DeMoir for listeners who don't have the name, so that you can find it. But I, you know, the first time we came in, my grandson was with me, and there you have a program where every child who comes into the store gets a free book.
Yeah.
And
it's my favorite program. Yeah. It's my favorite program. I try my best to be a disciple of Christ, and so much of that is giving. And even though it's important to keep the lights on and make sure that overhead is taken care of, my job is to foster love of reading and writing. That's what I was put on this earth to do. And so through our children's literacy program, any child age 0 to 17, if they come in the store, regardless of if their parent or guardian buys a book, they don't leave empty-handed. I was an educator. I taught English and creative writing for a number of years, and so I know what the literacy rates are in the district and in our state, and who am I to not help if I can? And so we have this free literacy program where we give away so many books to kids. And like having the autonomy of choice, putting a collection of books in front of a child and being saying, hey, you go find what you want. And it's like their eyes get so large and they're so excited, like, I get to choose. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you get to go choose and figure out what it is that you like, or maybe you didn't even know you liked that thing. And so I love being able to see kids just dive into the shelving and kind of find something that they love. And that's just a part of helping kids along, you know? So that's my favorite program, though. We have several, but our children's literacy program is definitely my favorite. It's definitely my favorite, yeah. So I think when I think about like the selection of books that we have, so like I said, we have new releases, which are the books that are coming out every day, it seems, but we also carry like young adult fiction and adult fiction and faith-based. And so we highlight so many different types of stories and not just traditional ones lifted up. So as a Black-owned business, I love being able to show more representation in the collection of books that are coming out, such as like Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi, so many things by Adam Severa, who's a Latinx author, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, who's from Jackson, Mississippi. She's 3 hours away, so technically she's a neighbor, not quite. But there are so many different titles that are coming out, and I feel like it's so important for everyone to see themselves. And I think you mentioned that earlier, how you come in and you saw titles that you never heard of and didn't necessarily exposed to, and how that was really important for you. And so I think it's important for people too. We have several different bookstores, but we're the only Black owned bookstore in the city that's 68% African American. So that's a really huge thing that we're still saying, like, first or only or new, and it's 2022, that rhymed. But I think it's really interesting. But sometimes it takes a person who is of a different generation to kind of affect that change. And so the first time I was able to vote was during Barack Obama's election. And so for me, the change and Yes You Can was like a huge thing for me. And so in doing this particular journey and finding books to highlight, it's okay, God, so how can I show everyone that they're loved? How can I show everyone that they're represented and respected and cared for and that they're welcome? And so that's how a diverse collection of books are brought about. And I always love when people who come in the store like yourself and they're like, well, I didn't know, like, tell me about this book. I didn't know this was a thing. And it's like, yeah, so this person came out 2 years ago and we're still seeing that. And so it's a really awesome thing. We do celebrate traditional authors that come through from like HarperCollins or Random House or any of these other big names, Zondervan, Tyndale. We do represent them, but we also celebrate our local authors as well. And that's a huge thing for me. I'm a writer as well, a published author 12 times now. But a lot of times for people, they will write books and gotta put a story in their heart, or they feel led to create something, but they'll never see it on a shelf. And so I have this thing where I believe that everyone deserves a seat at the table. And so we allow local authors to submit their titles for inclusion in our collection. Currently, we've had approximately, I think, 117 authors to rotate through the store in a year that are local. And so you'd never know how much that blesses a person just to see something that they were given, that mustard seed that's actually growing now. And like, they're able to see that on a shelf and then be celebrated with a book signing. Like, that's something that a lot of people would never experience, but that's something that we offer. We highlight so many different stories, but I love our local author section where people have an opportunity to see their dreams come to life. And that's another point of just being able to kind of spread goodwill. And I think one thing that we're trying to gain back in this pandemic is that we've lost a bit of kindness. And so my job is just to kind of spread that. I know how important it is to make sure that our bills are paid. But sometimes it takes a second just to do a random act of kindness. And that's so much like Christ too. You know, it's just finding different ways to help people and bless people and give people opportunities. Sometimes people only need a chance. And a majority of the time it starts with a book. And so I think you were saying that your grandson was so excited to come in, and that's how Do More Books started. I was in an English classroom with students in an urban school system, and we didn't have a classroom library. We didn't even have a library on site. And so I was spending hundreds of dollars of my own money to provide our kids with books. And then it became me helping the teacher next door, like, money with her books. And so realizing that there was an issue with book accessibility, I was just like, yeah, so we kind of have to change that. And with the particular school I was teaching at the time, the closest library was 6 miles away. And so kids didn't even have the opportunity to even have access to the public system. We have 18 branches, but a lot of them are still not close enough to reach the community, which is a huge part for Do More Books. We try to close those community gaps. We do tons of community work through our partners, such as like Choose 901, Give 901, Literacy Mid-South, For the Kingdom, which is a faith-based, Raleigh-based organization. And so we do our part to make sure that kids are getting books. And we donate a lot of books just to get in kids' hands, you know? And so there's so much work around that, which is why I love our children's program so much. Being able to see students, like my former students, have access to titles with representation that looks like them, whether it's Black Panther or seeing another Black or brown child on the cover of a book, which would have been, I don't want to say unheard of 20 years ago, but not as frequent, I'll say. When I was growing up, there was one book that I was given, and the character looked exactly like me, and that was Willie Jerome by Alice Faye Duncan, who's also a local Memphian, and I still have that book. And so that became a huge part of me. And so if that inspired Jeremy, what might another book inspire another child? And so I love the fact that we're getting so many more BIPOC titles, Black, Indigenous, people of color books that are coming through. And it's so important for children to read all types of books. I love the fact that we have To Kill a Mockingbird and Tom Sawyer and The Taxi Nev- I'm sorry, I'm about to cry. The Taxi Navigator by Richard Mosher, which were some really influential books for me. But I also love that we're able to get books like Little Bill and Willie Jerome and even Corduroy, because Corduroy's a bear, but I love that book. And we're able to see so many different diverse titles coming out, and kids, even Hair Love. It's just a book about like a black girl washing her hair with her dad. And it's just like, you wouldn't have seen titles like that 25 years ago, but it's necessary because the world is ever changing. And just like the body of Christ, we all look different. We all come from different walks of life. And it is my job, not only as a Christian, but also as a human being, to spread that, you know? And so it's amazing when kids come in and they're like, oh, I want that book. And it's, and her mom's like, well, you already have that at home. And it's a book about like different nations in Africa. And it's like, wow, she has this book and she is this beautiful, like this beautiful light skinned girl. And it's just like, wow, her mom is like letting, but that's the power of just immersing your children in diverse culture, is giving them the opportunity to learn about other races and creeds, because that's how we build tolerance. That's how we build acceptance. And is that not what God asks us to do? You know what I mean? It's to love our neighbor as ourself. And my neighbor might not always look like me. And so it's, and that's a huge thing that we try to pride ourselves on doing.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I have noticed the, particularly looking at children's books, mm-hmm. because I do have a 6-year-old grandson. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. I'm looking at books. Yeah. And just the books that he has access to now that represent the full range of humanity mm-hmm. to him.
Yeah.
So that it becomes a normal part
yeah.
of his life experience
yeah.
Is amazing. That, you know, there seems to be a, I don't know if it's a surgence or a resurgence of available books from all these different points of view. They've always been there, but mm-hmm. is there some kind of explosion, or is it just...
Absolutely.
I mean, I think yeah. so, and I think it's yeah. because of the way our world is shaping
yeah,
up to be.
Yeah, I think... let's see. Probably, I would probably say within the last, 10 to 12 years, we've been seeing this huge explosion of diverse titles, because it's almost like America's finally realizing that, oh, there are more people here than just us. So yeah. like, you know what, we probably should start, you know, making more TV shows of people who are of color. You know, just a little thought. It's so weird that it's literally 2022. And Marvel just released its first like Muslim led character, which was Miss Marvel. And it's like, it's 2022, but at least, you know, it's finally happening. People are starting to realize that there's a need for diversity and inclusion. And so there's literally been this huge just explosion of YA titles coming out. It was very small when I was a child. I probably had maybe 10 or 12 books with black children in them as like central protagonists. But lately, probably since the Obama administration, there's been this explosion of realizing that representation is so important. And so we're starting to see a lot of diversity in our leadership, in the politicians that we're starting to elect, even in our communities and our school systems. It's been this explosion, and it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's and the great thing about it is that it's not taking away from anyone. You know, no one is suffering. Even though James Patterson said that, you know, people are, but there's room for everyone, and it's just giving people the opportunity to allow their light to shine. It takes nothing from me to pat you on your back. You know, it's literally nothing. Maybe not because we're still in COVID, but if that's okay to pat you on your back, I ask first, because consent is also very important. But it takes nothing for me to do that, you know, to allow you to shine. That does not dim my light, and it doesn't dim Christ's light either. You know, if anything, it makes it shine brighter that I'm doing that for my neighbor. And this explosion of diverse titles allows that to kind of happen.
It's there's a reason we were created in such diversity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, to be celebrated.
Yeah.
I when I came into your shop the first time, it was to buy this here flesh, mm-hmm. which is by Cole Arthur Riley. Is that right, Riley?
Mm-hmm.
blanked out there.
It's
and
okay.
It was a book that I knew when it was coming out I needed to buy it. And mm-hmm. for some reason, I knew I needed to come get it from you.
Wow.
And so that was my first trip to your shop. And you had just sold, I believe, 25 copies of it. A book club had ordered it.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, she is a, I don't know, I say she's young. I think she's older than she looks. She looks like she's about 12. But she's a young black Episcopalian.
Yeah.
And it's an autobiography and kind of her spiritual journey. But I've also bought Memphis by Tara Stringfellow, which I finished last night.
Oh, it's so good. I had the pleasure of meeting her about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she's such a gem. And I think it's an amazing thing that Memphians are actually being signed to these large publishing houses. She's a really amazing person from a neighborhood where my grandparents grew up. And then there are other authors like Khalees Rowe, who's also from Memphis. She's with Random House Publishing. And like Kristen R. Lee, who's also from Memphis. She lives in New York now, but they're on their book tours. And we were fortunate to be the bookstore they selected for their book tour, you know? And so it's just like this little bookstore in Memphis, Tennessee, that's being able to service huge authors that are on national book tours. We even had a HarperCollins author come through, Harold Green III, on his Black Roses. And so these people who are making large moves in the industry are coming to a place that you would not necessarily know unless you Googled or unless you heard it from word of mouth. And so that's a lot of God too. We even end up hosting a book signing for the former mayor of New Orleans, Mark Morial. And it's just, who would have thought that this little boy from North Memphis would end up rubbing shoulders with leaders and people who are currently up for election again, like Willie Brooks or even Senator London Lamar. Like, it's just, it's a beautiful testament to just God's perfect will. I literally wanted to just spread love of reading, writing for kids. And now it's like, well, no, Jeremy, think bigger. Like, and that's a huge thing that God is always trying to show us. It's like, stop putting yourself in this box. Allow me to show you who I am and just trust that I'll walk you through it and you'll be fine. And so,
So we're talking about all these authors coming through, and the one that fascinates me, and I missed it, I was out of town when it happened, is Super Lucas.
Oh,
can you tell me about Super Lucas?
So Super Lucas is a book written by this mom and son duo, Allison and Lucas, and Lucas is 5 now, and so we, like I said, we carry local authors of all ages, but the youngest is like 5. And it just goes to show you that it doesn't matter how old you are. If there is a story inside of you, it's going to come out. And Super Lucas, him and his mom, like, she read to him as a baby, kind of like my mom did. And so they decided to create this beautiful story with Lucas, who's an African-American child, being a superhero. And like going around to all of his friends and like teaching them lessons and helping. And that's so important and so necessary to kind of see that. I don't know if you guys know, like the Backyardigans. I love your backyard friends, the Backyardigans. Yeah, but I mean, those are animals. But it's nice to see actual human beings represented as superheroes and have these amazing stories. And it's a testament to the growth of our country. And like, all progress is good progress. Sometimes super slow, but we're getting there. Even though there's a lot of darkness going on in our government right now, God is still God, and he's still allowing the light to come through those storm clouds. And so that Super Lucas is one of those moments where this beautiful gift was given through a child and his mom wanting to create something to make the next person feel happy. So I love that. You'll probably see them again. I think Allison's working on her next book, and I think it's going to be with her daughter, Aria. So she wanted to give her both of her children a gift that would be able to be there with them forever. And so it's important, which is also why it's important for parents to read with their children. So children learn from their parents, and they watch their parents. And literacy, people don't realize, is an umbrella. It's not just reading a book. It's also speaking. It's also listening. And that even goes to audiobooks. You know, children learn because their parent is normally reading them a bedtime story, but your child is also reading too. They're soaking up that information. And they're receiving that literacy through your voice. And so even for people who struggle with maybe dyslexia or autism, they're able to soak up material in different ways. And so literacy covers all of that. Just kind of like God's love. It's all encompassing. So literacy has different avenues to be able to reach that. But Super Lucas definitely was an amazing title, who's also one of the local authors. So yeah, absolutely. But hopefully you'll see them again soon.
I hope so.
But you can always, you know, order there. If you don't, I think you already have a copy, but if you need a copy, you can always grab one either on the shelf or on our website. So it's the beauty of social media. You can buy so many things without leaving your home. Yes. You can buy it from DeMore Books.
So. Yes. Yes, and I will tell you that when I have been in the store looking for a particular title and it's been ordered for me, it has shown up at my front door within just a couple of days. It takes no time.
Yeah.
And yet I still always leave with a bag full of books.
You do. But you know what else you always do? You always bring a bag of donations too. And so we accept gently used donations, any type of books, for our, not only for our children's program, but also for our store. We sell new and used books. And that's one thing, I don't even know if you even know that, but you always bring something. Like, not that you have to, but it's, I think that's just a part of your servant spirit. You know, you just serve the community by turning something back into the community. And that's a really awesome thing. So thank you for that. I don't know if I ever told you that, but thank you for that. It's always nice because those books end up finding really good homes, whether it's for the youth or an adult. People don't realize that adulthood illiteracy is still a thing in the city of Memphis. Yes. There are so many adults who struggle with reading, and we don't realize that it becomes, this overarching issue in our city where so many people are struggling still. Which is also why our literacy rates are so low in the city. I think the TCAP scores came back literally yesterday from the state of Tennessee, and so many people were outraged. But it's like also realized that we've been in a pandemic ongoing for 2 years. Even though the world appears to be opened up, so many things are still closed off, and that includes education. There's a massive teacher shortage. If there are no teachers to teach, your child cannot learn. And also, parents, if you're not doing your part, your child cannot learn. Please do not just pick your child up from school, take them home, and assume that they learned everything. Please read with your child, because it is more than just our job. We are a community. So with that in mind, we try to make sure that, again, we give those books available where kids can pick that and adults can pick that too. We do a lot of work with Literacy Mid-South around adulthood literacy and children literacy and programs to kind of help that along. But yeah.
And, you know, I know it's a challenge today because at least when I was growing up, you know, there were no computers. There were four channels on
TV. That's not true. You're 25. Don't say that.
Celebrating that 25th anniversary.
You got it. Hey, wouldn't even know it.
But today there are so many distractions for children. And sometimes I think we even forget that there are books. Mm-hmm. You know, real books that you can put your hands on and that smell of that book.
It's nothing like it.
It's tactile.
Yeah.
And turning those pages and reading those words and imagining what it looks like.
Yeah.
Is so important to us and to our kids' future.
It is, absolutely.
Having that mind that can imagine things without seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what I would like to leave the listeners with is just knowing that if you're looking for something, just come out to DeMore Books and Things. My beautiful host here stated, we're at 739 Northwest Station Road. If you aren't able to come out to our physical location, you can always check our website, which is demore-books.square.site. And we do local delivery, so maybe if you are currently part of our Sick and Shut-In, we can deliver that book to you. We also offer shipping at a very affordable rate, so we can always ship that to you. And then there's always in-store pickup, which Miss Jerry always does, even though she drives so far out. But yeah, we're here to serve our community. We're here to spread the love of God, and also just to be great human beings in general.
Good. So I think we've hit just about everything, haven't we?
Oh, well, that's awesome.
unless you have more you'd like to tell us about your store. It's, like I say, it's just, it's small enough to be comfortable and not overwhelming.
Yeah.
And yet I am just amazed at the variety there.
Thank you.
And yes, I take used books, which my husband thanks you for, because he's trying to decide if he's going to have to move out to the shed. For more bookcases to come in.
But
so,
you know what? Even with that, I would like to also add that we also have a children's play area. So parents, if you have your children, you can bring them. And if you maybe you aren't looking for something for them, they can play while you shop, so you don't feel rushed and they're able to be safe. We sanitize and clean our play area as well, just like the rest of the store, because we're still in the middle of a pandemic. So we still try to be safe as much. But that's also another thing that we do. And don't forget about our children's literacy program. Any child age 0 to 17, if they step into the store, they leave with a book. And we thank so much. We're so grateful for our community partners who help fund that particular program. And also amazing people who donate, just like you.
Okay. Damore Books and Things is open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5. Remember, you can order online at damore-books.square.site. And you can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for upcoming events. You can find the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee on Facebook, Instagram, and at edwtn.org. Past episodes of Faithfully Memphis are available on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please like and subscribe. Thank you for joining us today. This is Jerry Endicott for Faithfully Memphis. Until next time, stay safe and stay positive.